From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast.
Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, a podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. I'm back with Leah. Leah, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
And this is episode number 80. Can you believe it?
No.
80 podcasts. It would be interesting to see if anybody has actually listened to all 80 besides, like, you know, me. You haven't listened to all 80, so.
No.
It'd be kind of interesting to see. If you've listened to all 80 podcasts, leave a comment in the show notes or something. It'd be kind of interesting to see if more than, like three or four. One of the podcasts I listen to, Lee, and I know you have a time or two, is the Your Mom Has a Blog podcast. They just recorded their 30th episode, and at the end of it, they asked if anybody had listened to all 30. And I forgot to, they asked, say something on Facebook or something, and I forgot to say I had, but they said that like only two people had listened to all 30 of theirs. I started thinking, ooh, we're like 80, and I bet it's less than two. I know it's one because I have, but I may literally be alone. I may be on an island on that one. But if you've listened to more than one of these, thank you for being with us. So it's been a busy couple of weeks as usual. A lot of things going on. A lot of good things going on, and we're always excited to share with you just some stuff going on in our lives and things. And Leah, since the last time we recorded, you have been to the Preacher's Wives Retreat. We kind of mentioned that last time, but how did it go up there around Bowling Green?
Oh, it's always so good. I always have a great time, and it's so unique because, we're all preacher's wives, so.
Thus the name.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, and I don't even really ask, how many were there?
About. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know.
Okay. So somewhere between one and a billion.
I'm not good at estimating. I'm not a preacher.
No, preachers aren't good at estimating either. That's one of the running jokes, right? As 25 people in the audience. We're glad to have all 73 of you here today. It's fantastic, Although I have to say, when we lived in Haleyville the first time, I almost scared you sometimes, especially on Sundays when I either preached or led singing. So I was up, in front of the congregation for a while. At the end of our services, they put up the attendance, and there were like several Sundays where I literally hit it to the number. Before they put out, say, I bet we had like 297. They would be like 298. You're like, how do you do that? I mean, you just kind of get used to where people are. So I don't, and I rarely, when I miss, I rarely overmiss. I'm kind of the odd preacher that way. I don't usually put more people there, but I know you enjoy that every time. So that was good. And we've got a, big day coming up here at 9th Avenue next week, coming Sunday, and really beyond. We call it Care and Share Day, but it's really more than that. We just do some activities together as a church family. It's really just a day of fellowship is what it boils down to. And I'm excited because last year you didn't get to come to the Sunday stuff. You had a death in your family. Was it a cousin or an uncle or something?
An uncle.
It's been a year ago. So I have trouble remembering what I ate for supper last night, but that's what happened a year ago. But you were here for services and had to drive to around the Jasper area and then drive back. But got to be here for some of the weekly stuff. But we just do this as a way for people of all ages to hang out. You know what my favorite things that happened last year?
What?
You weren't there during the Sunday stuff. But it started raining about halfway through our time. But before it started raining, we had some people outside. All we do is just, play games and we provide an area for people to sit and visit, and we rent out like a facility in town just to, play basketball or cards or board games or whatever. But before it started raining, there's a group that wanted to go outside and play wiffle ball for a few minutes. And so, of course, me, if it's going to be wiffle ball, I'm going outside and playing wiffle ball, right? And one of the coolest things that happened was at one point we had somebody, and I'm going to guess their age because I know within a couple of years how old they are because I did their wedding. It's an older couple that got married very late in life. Both of them lost their spouses and things. And the husband, I think, now is 81. So he went about 80, 81 last year, something like that, was batting off a girl who was pitching who was 7. Like, that is so cool. And I just loved seeing it. And that happened all over the place. But, there I was, just seeing it, it happened in front of me. And people all over the field, my age and a lot older and a lot younger and everything. So really, really cool day. And then we followed up during the week with just a couple activities during the weeknights. Some simple stuff, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, we're excited about that. The garden's growing.
It really is.
Yeah. I'm scared.
Why?
Because what happens if it all actually grows?
Well, we'll have to learn a lot and give away a lot, probably.
Yeah, like, what do you do with 40,000 tomatoes? Because yeah, we have, last year, we had the early tomatoes. I think we had 27 tomato plants, and we had more tomatoes than we even could dream of what to do with. And we have, was it 32 tomato plants this year? And people are saying, why did you plant more? We didn't. We have a guy we've mentioned before in the podcast who helps us out in the garden. And we didn't mention this last time, Leah, but when we left for Lives to Leaders, we had 12 tomato plants. When we got back from Lives to Leaders, meaning we were not at our house, we had 30. So we pulled up and I was going, oh, man.
You know, though, I like having lots of tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up, my mom would can tomato juice and it is just the best.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and we
can a lot
juice.
Of them. And we do give quite a few away and things, but it's kind of frightening.
It's good in soups and things like that. It just has a different flavor than the kind you can buy in the store.
It's kind of frightening, though, because you know, summers are kind of busy, and all of a sudden you got 600 cucumbers you have to pick in one day and stuff. So, but we're excited about it. And then let's do one more thing, kind of just from catching up people on our lives.
Well, first, we had lots of cucumbers last year and tried to make pickles, and they were horrible.
They were bad. And we have more cucumber plants this year than we had last year, so this could be a disaster. I told your mom.
I feel like Aunt Bee. You know, there's an episode on Andy Griffith where she makes bad pickles. And
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You need to watch Andy Griffith. You miss out on so many references in life if you have not watched that show.
I'm too busy watching Saved by the Bell. Mm-hmm. We have one other thing kind of going in our lives that's kind of cool, and that is our pew packers. When I moved here, they asked if I would kind of do that. We have a youth minister, but he asked me if I would kind of do the pew packers because I know a lot of little kids' songs and that sort of thing. I enjoy doing it. It's fun. We started a thing after Lives to Leaders. I kept kind of teasing it to the kids. We called it the Bible Adventures. And as an idea, not original with me, shout out to Polishing the Pulpit. I got this idea from a 2 minutes tops. Remember those sessions at Polishing the Pulpit?
Mm-hmm.
Where they have 20 speakers go for 2 minutes apiece. A guy from, I think somewhere in California, gave this idea. We bought little cheap passports from Amazon and made a stamp. I think I made it on Vistaprint. And the kids memorized some Bible facts and get a stamp in their passport. We were able to start that a couple weeks ago. And the kids seemed pretty excited about it, memorizing little things. And we started it. Some of them are really easy. You know, sing the books of the New Testament's one of the stamps. And some of them are pretty challenging. You know, so we're excited about that. I kind of like doing pew packers. It's fun. Those kids are cute. And you never have any idea what they're going to say between songs or something. That's why you just go right into the next song. Because if you give more than about 2.5 seconds of silence, you're probably going to be talking about, dinosaurs or, rainbows or football.
Now you know what? Bible school teachers have 50,000 things they have to get ready for each class.
A 40-minute class. Why do you have to have 33 activities? Well, it's because if there's more than 2 seconds of silence, the class is over.
That's right.
What it boils down to. All right. Anything else you want to talk about? You're going to Sweetwater in a few weeks, a couple of weeks, to speak to Ladies' Day, Sweetwater, Tennessee. What's that, the 20th?
Yes.
I think. So a couple of weeks out. So if you're in kind of that East Tennessee or North Georgia, I guess, area, head that way and hear Leah speak at Sweetwater. How about that? How's that for a promo? We'll have one more podcast before then, so maybe you can get a little tease next time what we'll be talking about or something. Does that sound good?
Yes.
All right. Couple links this week. I thought we'd spend more time on the personal stuff, so this may be a short episode. You have shared a couple of articles recently that kind of talk about the same subject.
I think our podcast is slowly turning into things Leah's posted on Facebook.
It's because you share such good stuff. and plus, I mean, people know this by now. This is what, 5 or 6 of these episodes where we just talk about different subjects and things. We readily admit we don't prepare for them a ton, but if I grab some stuff that you share, you've seen it, you're
That's
familiar
true.
With it, and it's stuff that we both find interesting enough to share or to talk about, so why not actually long form
like
it here in the you heard it, folks. She likes
it. Well, earlier when we did, the reason it didn't work out for me so well is that we would plan to do the podcast, and then all of a sudden, at night, all day long, been busy with the kids or even homeschooling the kids, and all of a sudden you're handing me a topic that I hadn't looked over yet that I was supposed to. I mean, it'd be my fault. And I was like, I don't know what to say about this topic, and I'm going to sound like I don't know anything. And
which was never true.
Well, It really is battery.
Just remember, Arrows in Our Hand gave you a shout out three or four weeks ago, or three or four episodes ago, saying that the good episodes are the ones you were on. Thanks, Wes and Denise. That was very kind of you all. That we love so much. They're through for the season. I'm upset. I asked them why we're listening to them Wednesdays now. You know, they'll be back in, I think, August, but from May through July, I don't know what I'm going to do on Wednesdays. Wednesday mornings, that's one thing to listen to. But anyway, you shared an article from a website, For Every Mom is the name of the website, which I know nothing about other than this article you shared. But the name of the article was The Day My Child Lost Her Joy and What I Did to Revive It. And I think when you shared this, you said something about, you know, you really needed to see this every day or something. And it was the idea of a husband who looked at his wife and said to her, "You're never happy anymore." Or, yeah, "You're never happy." I actually got that right. I'm proud of myself remembering that. And it was just, they were getting ready to go on vacation or something, wasn't it? And as they were leaving, he said, just said to his wife, "You know, you're never happy anymore." And she says, I'm just going to read for a second there. After he said that, this is what she writes. She said, "I wanted to defend, I wanted to excuse, I wanted to deny, but I couldn't because I knew he was right." And then this question, she said, "Where had that happy woman gone? The one who smiled at people she passed on the street just because," and she gives a lot of other just kind of simple life, you know, you get happy because of simple things in life. And then she says again, "Where had she gone, that happy woman?" Then she says this, and I'm going to throw it over to you to kind of talk about the article a bit. She says, "And that's when I glanced to the back seat to see if my children, then ages 6 and 3, had heard my husband's words. Staring back at me was my older daughter, picking her lip with worry the size of a small boulder weighing down on her small shoulders." Now, when you shared the article, I came over here and read it. Usually you share stuff on Facebook or whatever. You know, I go read, or at least read part of it. That was the paragraph that jumped out. And the reason to me was, we can try to hide from our kids sometimes, you know, that we're worried or we're upset or frustrated. But I know for moms, you know, homemakers, homeschooling moms in your case, I've heard you say it before, you're with them all the time. You can't really hide that stuff as much as you might want to. And sometimes you can hide some of it. But why did that article kind of resonate with you so much about, you know, kind of losing happiness and needing to get it back for the kids' sake and that sort of thing?
Well, you know, the article started out with really what happens, I think, to most people when you find yourself, you know, and the question, where had that happy woman gone? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've asked myself that question sometimes because, you know, when you first come into adult, well, of course, when you're a child, you know, when you carefree, your parents take care of you. But when you first come into adulthood, and I know it's not this way for everybody, but we were blessed and we had a good marriage starting out, and you get into adulthood and things are hard in some ways, but they're more simple in other ways. And then as time goes on, you have more and more responsibility given to you. And then, you know, and so I'm saying all that to say this, that the article started out with all of the little inconveniences that can just eat away at, you know, you want things to be right, and you're here, you're especially as moms, you're trying to take care of your family, you're trying to do this, do that, and things are not going to always be perfect. But this woman sounds a lot like at least sounds like I feel sometimes, that those just start to bother you. And
yeah, she talks about how those inconveniences.
Yeah, you know, not having time to, I mean, one of the things, and I know maybe this is why it stuck out, I was mad because I didn't have time to put the dishes in the dishwasher. They're going on a vacation. I don't know how many times I have tried so far to leave and make sure everything is nice and neat and put away. And you know, with kids, sometimes you just don't have the time to do anything, and your house is in a mess, and someone's supposed to come and feed the dog, and you're embarrassed that they're even going to be in your house, and everything is just terrible. And
I remember you used to get mad at me before we had a dog. You'd get mad at me because we get ready to leave on a trip, and you want to make the bed, and I say, "Who are you making it for? Nobody's going to be here. You're making it for the robbers or something? What's going on here?"
It's just what you do. We make our bed every day, and I wouldn't want to know that that was waiting on me when
vacation.
I came home.
I want to vacate those sort of things.
Oh, me. Anyway.
But what was it about it that kind of struck you as far as, you're right, I know a lot of, you know, a lot of moms, a lot of parents, you know, feel that way. Those, and I like her word, inconveniences, you know, really start to weigh down. What was it kind of spoke to you about just how that resonates with the kids, you know, that how you want, you know there's going to be frustrations. Let's just throw that on. This is not saying you're never going to be frustrated or never have an inconvenience or never be upset. But how do you think, or why do you think, they can kind of, you know, eat away the joy, or not the joy, the happiness your kids have? And, you know, why did that hit you so much?
Well, it's a habit, and your attitudes bleed over into theirs. And so, I don't know. And, you know, when they can sense that you're not right or something's wrong, they know some. They feel like something's wrong, and they may think it's with them, right, or with you or your family or whatever. And then they reflect that, and they become unhappy. And then they follow your example. If things are going bad, some little inconvenience in their little world, you know, then they're going to lash out. And I don't know. It's just I don't know if you wanted to talk about this or not, but our few days of begin a no complaining.
Yeah, let me say this in your article quick, then we'll get to that, because I did want to bring that up. But you kind of hinted at this. She mentions this in the article, that sometimes our kids see us, you know, upset or frustrated, and sometimes kids begin to wonder, is it me? You know, and she says, you know, mom's mad at me, mom's tired because of me, mom's stressed because of something I did. You know, we may not think that, but a lot of times, especially little kids, that's what they think. If mom's upset or dad's upset, it could be, you know, in my case, it could be, you know, the elders made some decision, I'm really upset, maybe the elders let me go, you know, or whatever, and I come home mad and frustrated. The kid can't register that. They think I've done something wrong, or at least I can do something to fix it. And it begins to wear on them in a way that's just not fair to them, because it's oftentimes nothing they've done.
But it's so hard.
Oh, yeah.
To hold, I mean, I don't know how to even explain. It's just so hard when you're not feeling well, and when you're upset about things, and you know, you may be going through a hard time dealing with things in your life, and then how do you just put on, it feels like you'd be putting on a show. And I know, I mean, and I'm learning, and I hope I'll mention this when you talk about the no complaining thing, but you know, you just start feeling, you really tell yourself, like, I cannot act right. I just can't do it. You know, I'm mad, or I'm sad, or I'm upset, or not feeling good, or I'm frustrated, whatever it may be. And so, but then here are these children who are looking at you, and then that makes it even worse, because then on top of everything else, you have guilt that you're not being the best mom for them. Mm-hmm. And
now I want to just point this out right here, because I wanted to say this during this podcast, because I knew, you know, obviously I knew this article was coming. I've got another one in a second. It's very similar. And we're going to get to the no complaining thing here, off of this. We do this podcast, and we've said this a bunch of times, I want to really say it here. We do this podcast not because we think we're perfect at parenting or being, you know, husband, wife, or anything. We do it because sometimes it's therapeutic for us. It's not frustrating. It's stressful on us a little bit to sit behind the microphone and talk about these things. But, you know, sometimes you put yourself out there, you know, through a podcast or a blog or whatever, and people get this idea that your house is always perfect and the kids are never upset. You never have to discipline your kids. You know, you never get frustrated. And people should have been at our house Monday night. The Monday night, it was bad. We had a horrible day. I mean, I was frustrated at stuff. You were frustrated at stuff. The kids were mad at each other, mad at us. And I think the dog was mad. I mean, it was just, it was just a bad day. You know, it was, you know, it wasn't, nobody was sick or anything life-threatening. It was just one of those days where just kind of, I think it's fair to say it felt like kind of a cloud would just hang over the house. Mm-hmm. Kind of a fair way of putting it.
Yeah.
Just, attitudes were just, you know, and it's just the way it was. I say that to say, we're just like you all. We just happen to have a microphone, right, and decide to do this. But, and this gets to the no complaining thing. I knew that Monday night was awful. And so Tuesday morning, I went for my walk, and I was listening to a podcast, but I wasn't really listening. You ever done something like that? You know, you kind of have something playing or whatever, but it's not really making a, you know, not really registering. My brain was 1,000 miles away. And we got the kids up that morning, and we brought both of them in the living room, and all four of us were sitting there. And I just shot straight. I just said, yesterday was horrible. It was just a bad day. Everybody was complaining. I said, I was too. They said, Dad getting on there. You know, it's everybody else's dad getting on himself too. And we instituted, Tuesday was no complaining day. Nothing. You couldn't complain about anything. And in fact, if you wanted to complain about something, you had to find a blessing in it. And we went around the room, like mine was, I'm not going to be specific with it, but, you know, we're going to spend a big amount of money on something that, you know, is not really exciting, you know, something for the house, but it's not like, you know, redecorating a room, right? Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. Our computer's making noise.
We're still recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I just said, the way I'm looking at that is, do I want to spend all this money? No. But we can afford to do it, you know, and God's blessed us with the ability to do those kind of things. And so I heard you say, because you're with the kids all day long, Tuesday was wonderful.
Oh, it was wonderful. So different. And you know, and I learned that day and the next day, or yeah, that day and the next day, because we went decided to carry it over. And I decided that really, and you know this stuff is true, but it was just because we were putting it into practice, that if you found yourself starting to feel bad about something and utter a complaint about something, have a bad attitude about something, and then you force yourself to find a blessing, it was just different, because I think deep down we know that things are okay, that God loves us, and that the things, a lot of times, the things we're upset about day to day, not, you know, saying that there are not some real things that people can be, but just, you know, the things that we're talking about, just being frustrated with things and being in a bad attitude or whatever. But, you know, you force yourself to find the blessing and find the good thing to think about. And, you know, it was, I can't even remember the one that morning or the next morning, but it was something about Mary Carroll, you know, seeing, oh, I know. She was trying to read the box of raisin, the raisin box. And we kept telling her, you needed to eat. She needed to eat. She needs to eat. Because
she eats, let's just say, deliberately.
Right, right. And so I remember saying, Mary Carroll, you are not going to ever get finished, you know. And then you kind of looked at me and I was like, but I'm glad you can read. I'm glad you can read. And you want to look at that box and read where the raisins come from and how they make the raisins or whatever. But, you know, I did. I found out that when it is it's a habit. It's a habit. And nothing is so bad, you know, that can get us down sometimes. Most things aren't. Then we really can't sit down and think of the blessing.
Mm-hmm. So it was a good couple of days. And it's easy to slack off of it because, as you said, it's a habit. And there's nothing wrong with expressing that something is not good. But there's a difference in that and complaining. And that's what we were trying to get, especially the kids, to see. You know, something is just not good. There's a way to express that without complaining or whining about it.
Or at least to catch yourself from doing that all the time.
There are
going to be some times that you're just really frustrated. And, you know, we're not saying it wouldn't be okay to look at your child even, or your spouse, and just show the frustration, because, you know, maybe they need to see that about something. But it lifted a mood. It lifted the cloud, so to speak. And even the next day, they were wanting, I said something about making up a bed or something, and we had a little complaint, and I said, oh, no complaining. And they said, again? Like this day and the next day and the next day, and then for months. And, you know, they started getting nasty, like, uh-oh, this could turn into. And I was like, yeah, and that's the point, that we want to live a life of happiness and a life of gratefulness, not always looking on the bad side of things and complaining about everything, because we have been blessed. We want to think about what God's given, you know, and kind of made the lesson again. And
It was a little bit harder that day. Yeah, but
the next day than it was the first day. But we held on, and I kept reminding them, and I tried myself.
I'll say that's what I was going to. The whole thing is, you can't tell your kids, right, Don't be complainers, and then complain about everything.
I mean, I'm as guilty as they are.
Yeah, and I think that was a lot of ways, and I'm not trying to take credit for it, but I think that was a lot of the reason that worked was that morning we didn't just say, hey, kids, we're not complaining today. But all four of us, you and I included, went around the room and said something that, you know, we're not real happy with right now, but there's a blessing in it. And, you know, like Mary Carroll's was, she does not like spelling in school. She just doesn't like it. And she's getting better at it. But she, you know, hers was, you know, I said, Mary Carroll, what's something, you know, that maybe you don't like that you could find a blessing in? And she went, spelling. And I said, well, how could you find a blessing in it? And what we talked about was, instead of saying, you know, I made a mistake today, or I made a mistake today that I didn't make yesterday, look back a year. You know, look how much better of a speller you are from a year ago, or, you know, a couple of years ago. Is she a great speller? No, she's not. Not yet. She's a whole lot better than she was, you know, even a month ago, but especially, you know, a year ago. So we're trying to help them just to see, you know, the blessing side of things. So that kind of went along with that. The other article that kind of went along with that same subject is from the website We Are That Family. I'm not sure we've actually done anything by them on the podcast before, but it's one I don't subscribe to, but a lot of people share their stuff on Facebook. And the name of this article that came out about a month ago was Sometimes We Have to Step Back for Parenting to Come into Focus. And this whole article is talking about how everything was going wrong. The mom wrote this. Everything was going wrong at her house, and she just wanted to scream and all this kind of stuff. And her teenage boy, I forgot how old he is. I just skipped past it, actually. I think he's 16. It just says teenager. Our teenage boy says he didn't say a word. He walked over and wrapped his arms around me. He hugged me for a long time. He's nearly 6 feet tall, this gangly boy child of mine. And all I could think was, he's acting like a man. And I swallowed the enormous lump in my throat. He spoke for his siblings and said, "We're sorry, Mom," and then he was gone. And the whole point of the article was, are there frustrations? Are there things, you know, you run yourself crazy? Yeah, but when you step back and look at the bigger picture, you begin to see this whole process is a blessing. Because it's not that, yes, the day-to-day, you know, we talk about, you know, the beginning of our podcast, you know, the first thing we talk about is survive the day, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes that's what it feels like. But then you step back and you think, you know, from yesterday to today, did I see a lot of progress? Probably not. But from, you know, like when Mary Carroll was 8 to where she is now as 11, do I see progress? You better believe it. You know, and does it mean we're great parents? No. But it means sometimes you got to step back and look at the bigger picture. And in reality, Leah, I mean, that's what parenting really is seeing the bigger picture and then doing the day-to-day details to get there.
And I think if you're really focused on trying to train your children, and that is just the most important thing you're doing as parents at that point, like, you know, you're not really trying to make sure they have everything. You're not really trying to make sure they're the most popular kids around, but you really want what's best for them, and you want to teach them how to act and teach them the valuable things in scripture. And you can get discouraged a little bit because they're still children, and they're not going to all, well, I mean, no one is always going to get it right, but as children especially, they're not going to always be acting in the way that you've tried to train them. But, you know, when you, like this article is saying, you step back from that and you see, you know, yeah, they are, you know, growing in their character or their faith, or they're growing. You don't see that, you know, day by day, and some days you think, oh, we've taken several steps back, but still over a long term, I mean, they are. And when you, I mean, it kind of goes along with the other article, really. You step back and you really look at things really how they are, and not focus on just the pinpoint things that are going wrong, then you can see the growth a whole lot better.
Now, I think you hit on something there that, you know, all of us need to have in mind too, is when we're parents, is sometimes in the day-to-day, what we really notice and what we want to talk about, you know, at supper time or before we go to bed or something, is what went wrong, you know, the mistake that got made, or, you know, our kid didn't do as well as math today as he should have, or, you know, our kid said a word he shouldn't have said today, yeah, that sort of thing. But then you have something where you just see a glimpse, like this boy in her story, you know, the teenage boy that walked over and gave a hug and acted like a man. And you see a glimpse and you go, you know what? Yeah, today may not have been a good day, but there's character still in that kid. You know, there's still the morals and things that come out in those moments to remind you that this is bigger than that little step back they might have taken that day, or that, you know, they're struggling in this subject in school or whatever. It's bigger than that. And, you know, that's what you're looking for, kind of those, you know, I don't know the right word here, you know, kind of those flash points, I guess, of, you know, just big points of character that come out, you know, constantly. And so, you know, we look for those and compliment kids when we see those things come out where you really act like a Christian man today, you really act like a Christian lady today, you know, and that's wonderful. So we'll link to those couple of articles. You want to talk about manners?
Sure.
While your elbow's on the table while we record?
Thank you.
Had been there. All right. You have not seen this article. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. The title of it is Of the Hearth is the name of the website. Manners and Common Courtesies That Toddlers Should Learn. Now here's what I'm going to do, Leah. You have not seen the article.
No.
I want you to try to guess a couple of things that this lady might have on her list. And I forgot how many she's got. 1, 2, 3. She's got a number. I've got to count the bullet points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. She's got 10. Mm. And they're for toddlers. What do you think are some manners that toddlers should learn? And she's not a Christian, as we would call it, but she's faith-based, most of what she writes and things. So, you know, thinking way outside the box here.
Saying thank you.
That's number one on our list, how to say please and thank you.
All right. Oh, man, I was going to say please next. yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
That's not on her list.
Really?
Now Stephen Hunter shared a blog post on Twitter a few days ago about manners that did have that on there, but I couldn't get it today. It wouldn't open. I don't know if they took the thing down or what, but okay. That was not on there. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. How to use respectful titles to address adults. So I'll give you that one. Because she mentions sir and ma'am, but she also says like Mr. or Mrs.
Oh, well.
So I'll give you that one.
Okay. But that is good, teaching them to say, you know, Mr. Fawn. And,
yeah.
Or Mr. Adam.
Yeah. Okay. Remember, it's toddlers now. This is fun. I love watching the wheel turn.
You kind of hit on something that I was thinking right before you said that about just answering people. Not just ignoring when someone's talking to them to answer them. That's a simple thing that I think a lot of kids don't know. Sometimes they just don't want to talk to anyone.
You're on to one.
Of course, I'm thinking like wipe your feet before you go into a home. Wipe your feet on the rug.
I'll give you that one. How to clean up after themselves.
Oh,
is one.
Okay. Saying, you know, excuse me if they burp or something.
How to say excuse me after burping or passing gas.
All right.
Is actually one, yes. We just said passing gas on the podcast. right there on the whole internet for everybody.
Let's see.
You want to guess? I wish it was a video podcast right now because there's actually a hamster running in Leah's head right now. The wheels are turning.
I'm kind of going to feel embarrassed if there's like, oh, yes,
no,
of course.
No.
Like, we taught our kids this. Why can't I remember
it? That's one reason I wanted to get this list and share it. It's pretty eclectic. I mean, for just a list of 10, she kind of goes all over the place. I like it.
Well, I have to say I saw the first paragraph. It was about covering their mouth when you cough.
Yeah, how to cough or sneeze into a sleeve
or
a tissue.
I'll cheat on that one.
Okay, here they are. I mean, you said a few of these. How to say please and thank you, right? How to say excuse me, we mentioned that one. How to cough or sneeze into their sleeves or tissues. How to use quiet voices in quiet settings.
Oh, yes, I should have thought of that.
I really liked that one being on. That's one reason I wanted to keep it. How to use basic table manners.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that being on there. And I like her reasoning here. As toddlers are beginning to sit at tables instead of using high chairs, they're learning how to use regular dishes, blah, blah, blah. That's when it's time to teach table manners.
Yeah, stay in your seat.
But a lot of people don't do
that. No.
Right?
Like, are you done? Go ahead and get up and walk around and bother everyone else.
Right. How to use respectful titles when addressing adults. We mentioned that one. How to greet and introduce themselves. Mm-hmm. Amen to that one. How many kids are like 14 and 15, and when an adult walks up to them, they cower into a corner?
Okay, I kind of hit on that, because when you're talking to... I think that's kind of similar to what I was thinking. It's just to be able to talk to people.
But she says, like, toddlers can't understand the intricacies... Whew, that's a good word. I'm glad I got that one out. ...of greetings and introductions, but they can learn how to say a simple greeting, hello, how are you, and how to state their first and last names. For example, my name is Susie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple, but how many kids, teenagers, can't do that or don't want to, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like this one. How to be respectful of the possessions and the bodies of other people.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Hands to yourself, mm-hmm. but also the possessions. Mm-hmm. You know, this is her toy, you know, or this is her notebook. You know, that sort of thing. I like that.
Yep.
How to clean up after themselves. And the last one's one you're going to go off in a good way. When and how it is appropriate to get the attention of adults. The microphone is yours.
You mean as in not interrupting?
Not interrupting.
Yes. There's so many good things. I've seen whole
for part two of this podcast.
Huge articles on that very thing, not interrupting, or things that, you know, maybe a mom taught their children, like the one rule about interrupting her. And it would show a child, you know, they just had to put their hand on her shoulder and wait till she acknowledged them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know what you want me to say. You know, you built up this great response.
I just know that's
response.
A huge one with you. And it's one we struggle with. You know, our kids, especially our son, interrupts a lot.
Well, you know, it is true. I think that every mom struggles with that. Probably all of us have had to look at our child and say, do not interrupt. You know, you'll be talking to another adult. And I just really started, I mean, I've always tried to emphasize that, but especially the older they get, you know, they think what they have to say is so important, but I always tried to emphasize that, you know, you're having a conversation with another adult, you be quiet, or, you know, and, you know, we're trying.
But like you said, she points out that, you know, we're dealing with toddlers here in her list, but she says, you know, they need to learn not to interrupt, but they also need to learn an appropriate way to get a you know, you gotta go to the bathroom, you're a toddler or something. Right? You don't necessarily need to interrupt, but there needs to be an appropriate way to, you know, get their attention. You know, like you said, the hand on the shoulder or mm-hmm. something. And it's when they're a toddler, they need to learn that, not when they're 14. Mm-hmm. They learn how to deal with those interactions. So manners, very missing mm-hmm. in our society.
Yes.
Not just by kids, if I may
That's
say
true.
So myself.
Very much true.
You going to get your elbow off the table?
No.
Okay.
It's 9 o'clock at night.
Don't admit how late at night as we record this. You know, whatever. And we've been going 36 minutes, by the way.
Whoa, and so we thought it was going to be short.
We did say so. So if you listen to the beginning and heard it's going to be a short podcast,
forget it. Yeah. Edit that part out.
We had bad manners and we lied. So we apologize for that. Anything else we may mention of before we jump off of here? We've been on a while.
I think we're good.
All right. So 2 weeks from today, we should be back with you. With episode 80, Leah, 80 episodes. In all seriousness, I know you haven't been on all 80, but you've been on probably close to half. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I enjoy doing this with
Thank
you.
Thank you.
It's a whole lot more interesting than me sitting behind a microphone by myself, I can tell you that. You're a whole lot better looking than the guy in the mirror, I know that. But I always enjoy doing this.
Thank you for getting this together.
Well, I just talk for 2 minutes and throw it to you and let you talk about
I just play on Facebook and I'm good to go, evidently.
Letting all of our secrets out here. So we hope everybody enjoys this. We will link to the articles we mentioned in the show notes, and those can be found at fawnfamily.com/POD80, and that's the number 80, fawnfamily.com/POD80, and we'll be back with you again in 2 weeks on the podcast. And remember, until then, remember your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.